Although it's a leap year, Nitzavim and Vayelech still come together. They're very short parshas. If you don't watch yourself during laning on Monday, you could finish all of Nitzavim without even thinking about it. But they are packed, of course, compact. And let us begin by consulting a section at the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. And Nitzavim, of course, is the aftermath, really, of the Tochacha. Last week had a very exhaustive and startling Tochacha, 69 psukim, 98 klolos. And Parshas Nitzavim is Moshe addressing the Bnei Yisrael post the Tochacha. And interestingly, within the course of his remarks to them, he addresses the possibility that some of them may not really respond to the Tochacha in the way that they should. And I refer to Perek Kaftes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and let's read two or three psukim. And it's actually amazing that Moshe talks about this, but he does. Pen yesh bachem pasuk yud zayin. Perhaps there is amongst you. Isho, isha. O mishpacho, shevet. An individual or a group, maybe. Asher levavo poneh hayom im Hashem Elokeinu. Perhaps in this setting, there's someone whose heart is turning away from Hashem. Laleches la'avodas Elohei ha'goyim mahem. Maybe he's inclined after avodah zara. Pen yesh bechem shoresh pora rosh velan, or perhaps there is a root which is growing poisonous things. V'haya, pasuk yud ches, b'sham o estivrei ha'ala hazos, when he hears this Allah curse, meaning the Tochacha, which should really shy him away from any such misbehavior, v'hisbarech bilvavo, no, he'll reassure himself. Le'mor, shalom yeli, he'll be fine, I'll be fine. I'll do as I see fit. Leman sefos harava esatzmeya. Meaning, literally, in order to add on that which is already satiated with that which is thirsty, which is a rather obscure phrase that we'll have to come back to. Says Moshe, he may think that, it's not going to happen. Pasuk Yutes, lo yoveh Hashem, se lo achlo. Hashem will not forgive him. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be angry at him for reacting that way. In Pasuk Kaf, v'hivdilo Hashem l'ra'ah, Hashem will single him out for evil. So, once again, we begin by noting the notion itself. That after the Tochacha, Moshe is addressing the fact that there are certain people who think they'll be fine. Apparently, they can just hear anything, and their skin is thick enough that they're somehow reassured themselves they'll be okay. In Pasuk Yud Ches, when it says when he hears the Tochacha, he'll say that he'll be fine. So I think the simple understanding is that he'll ignore it. In other words, here's the Tochacha, and human beings are capable of ignoring practically anything. And here's an example. So Moshe is saying he may have heard the Tochacha and none of it will get through to him. But interestingly, there are certain Mefarshim who understand that when the Pasuk says, when he hears the Tochacha, he will respond in the following way, it's not that he's ignoring the Tochacha, but actually there's something about the Tochacha that makes him think that. Which is very interesting. As if to say, cause and effect. Not in spite of the Tochacha, he'll think that. Somehow, because of the Tochacha, he will have a certain misapprehension of what the Tochacha is about, and the moral of the story will be, I can do what I want, which takes some doing. Well, that's a mistake. How could that be? And at this point, we go back again to the expression at the end of Pasuk Yud Ches, Leman sefos harava esatzmeya. In order to add on that which is satiated to that which is thirsty, that's very obscure. This person is a Rosha and a poet. What's thirsty? What's satiated? What does that mean? The Vilna Gaon in the Sefer Aderes Eliyahu discusses a very general issue in Chumash, and it's well worth acquainting ourselves with it. We know that there are times that when the Chumash is talking to Bnei Yisrael, it uses the plural form, Atem. And sometimes, even about the very same subjects, it will use the singular form, and it would be Ata, Shamoa Tishma, and sometimes in Shamoa Tishma'u. And the question is, what is at the heart of the division between the usage of the singular in Torah and the usage of the plural? That's a good shaila. I mean, that's going to be relevant to many, many passages in Torah. And the Vilna Gaon says something very interesting. And that is, the usage of the plural, of course, I think we understand, it refers to all of you. Okay, hence the plural. What about the use of the singular? What does that mean? Does that mean it refers to one of you? Says the Vilna Gaon, no. For actually, the Jewish people can be related to in one of two capacities. Either as an assembly of individuals, or a unified entity, which is called the Jewish people, which is one thing. And says the Gaon, when the Torah addresses Yisrael in the singular, it's not referring to an individual, to one individual per se, it's referring to the Jewish people as a unified entity, as a tzibur. Now, the Gaon discusses this very briefly, but I believe there is support, of course not unbeknownst to the Gaon, but there is support to this thesis of the Vilna Gaon from two places in the Gemara. One of them, which will be relevant quite soon, is a Gemara in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Mem Aleph regarding the Arba Minim. What's the mitzvah of the Arba Minim? To take the Lulav and the Esrog. Who has to do it? Everyone. How do we know? The Pasuk states, Ulekachtem Lachem Ayom HaRishon. Says the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah, Shetehe Lekicha B'yad Kol Echad Ve'echad. That each and every person needs to take the Arba Minim. Now, what does the Gemara mean to say? What is this a response to? The Tosfos explain that the Gemara is responding to the use of the plural. When it says, Ulekachtem lochem, it means each and every one of you. Had the Torah said, Velokachta lecha, who knows? But Ulekachtem lochem means, Biyad kol echad ve'echad. Very similarly, almost exactly identical in form, we have with regards to Sfiras HaOmer, the Talmud in Maseches Menachos, Daf Samechei Amud Beis, on the words Usfartem Lachem, says again, Shetei Sfira Bepi Kol Echad Ve'Echad, each person needs to count for themselves. And there again, Tosfos comment, the Talmud is responding to the use of the plural. Had it said, if you could imagine, v'safarta lecha, then the halacha would be that not everyone needs to count. Which, by the way, is not that unreasonable, given that, ostensibly, the count is in between the bringing of the omer, first and foremost, and the bringing of the shtei halechem, which is primarily the business of those who are in charge of the Beis HaMikdash. I could have understood that they are the ones who need to keep the track, keep the cheshbon between these two korbanos. Says the Torah, no. Everyone needs to count. Usfartem lachem. And just to underscore the point, in case we're wondering what life would have looked like had the Torah said v'safar talacha, there is a place that the Torah says v'safar talacha. And that's in Parshas Bahar with regards to counting Shemitah and Yovel. And we never hear of it. But the Pasuk says, v'safar talacha, sheva shepsel shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pa'amim. And in fact, it happens to be, there is no mitzvah of that in our common experience, communal experience, of counting Shmitas and Yovel, where there's no, but there is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for the Beis Din, says the Zifrei. That's very interesting. In other words, in the Beis Din, they would, at the end of every Shmita year, say, this is such and such a number of Shemitahs in the Yovel cycle. Much as we would say, this is the amount of days in the Omer. And the Ramban suggested maybe that they even made a bracha. It's a mitzvah on the Beis Din. The question is, how did Beis Din get a mitzvah? How does the Torah direct a mitzvah towards the Beis Din? The answer, says the Malbim, is the Beis Din is the body that represents the totality of the Jewish people. They're represented by their leaders. And therefore, when the Torah says v'safarta lecha in the singular, it refers to the Jewish people as a whole. And therefore, that mitzvah is fulfilled by people who represent the Jewish people as a whole. They are the central Sanhedrin. So, this is just surveying here and there in the Talmud. Arba Minim and Sfiras HaOmer, and all of this is corroborating, I believe, with the words of the Gaon in terms of the difference between Lashon Yochid and Lashon Rabim. Once again, to state clearly, Lashon Rabim, the plural, means each and every individual, all together, and the Lashon Yochid, the singular, refers to the unified entity called Knesset Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and the Jewish people. Now, what does this have to do with Parshas Nitzavim? Says the Vilna Gaon, the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, has already discussed the two times that the Tochacha appears in the Torah. For there are two. Last week we had the second one, Parshas Kisavo. The first one is at the end of Chumash Vayikra, in Parshas Bechukosai, in Bechukosai Teilechu, in Bechukosai Timasu. And the Gemara discusses differences between the Tochachas. There are certain key differences. And one of them that the Gemara mentions is the fact, and as soon as you look at the Psukim, you'll see, that the first Tochacha is written in the plural. In Bechukosai, Teilechu. In Bechukosai, Timasu. Veheivesi Aleichem. Ve'alachti Imachem. And the Tochacha in last week's Parsha is written in the singular. Im Tishma. Im Lo Tishma. Yavo Alecha. And that's it. And the Gemara discusses it in terms of its own question. But le'inyanenu, what are we to make of this? How are we to understand the difference in orientation between a tochacha that's written in the plural and a tochacha that's written in the singular? Says the Gaon, according to our understanding, what that means is that the first tochacha is addressed to each and every person, whereas the second tochacha seems to be addressed to the Jewish people as a whole, as a unified entity with a common destiny. Now, if that's true, and it sounds true, there is room for a grave error. Namely, an individual, or maybe even a group, within the Jewish people who feel that given that it sounds like there will be one uniform reaction for the entire composite entity called the Jewish people, so perhaps individuals maybe can stray and do what they want and somehow partake of the package, hashgacha, that comes to the Jewish people. For it seems to be one size fits all. Moshel l'maha davar domer. If we would just to illustrate this, when a person waters a field is watered uniformly. No one, unless they have nothing else to do with their time, looks at the one or two blades of grass that seem to be doing okay and decides that they don't need water. You turn on the fountain and that's that. And in a sense, that's the ideal moshel for this type of person. For he understands that the Jewish people will be irrigated as a whole. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn on the pipes and that's that. And therefore you have, within this moshel, greenery that is thirsty, that is to say it needs water, along with that which doesn't need water, and it all gets the same thing. Says the Vilna Gaon, that is why we say that this possible terrible misunderstanding may be the product not of ignoring the second Tochacha, but of relating to it, of responding to it. When he hears this Tochacha, and the stress is on this one as opposed to the first one. The first one was in the plural, which means it's to each and every person, there's no way out. But this one seems to be in the singular, implying that people constrain individuals here and there. And that's why he will think, the Jewish people as a whole, as long as everybody else is being good Jews, I can do what I want and still turn up for the dividends. In fact, there are some who say, Al Derech HaDrash, Reb David Tevel, a Talmud of the Gaon, one of the great Talmudim of Reb Chaim of Elozhin, says this is part of what the Rasha, of whom we speak a great deal on Seder night. So he says, Moha Avoda Hazos Lachem. What's his Avoda for you? He's quite interested, apparently. And of course, the barb is Lachem Velo Lo, for you and not for him. So we normally understand that he's not interested at all. He has no time for it. But Reb David Tevel said that he's quite interested that someone is doing it, and he wants the Jewish people to be good Jews, and therefore he hotzias atzmo min haklal, because as long as it's lachem, then it can be v'lo lo. If no one was being Jewish, then maybe he'd have to do it. But as it is, you're all doing the avoda, which is wonderful. I'm very interested and supportive, because if you're doing it, then I don't have to do it. He is the person from Parshas Nitzavim. And in a sense, what really lies at the bottom of his mistake? The Jewish people are addressed as a unified entity when they're unified. And here is a person who is abusing the concept of the klal in order to follow his own personal agenda. And therefore, the midah keneged midah, as Pasuk Kaf very pointedly states, the hivdilo Hashem l'ra'ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will separate him from the klal. Because everything that's happening in terms of the brachos and the klalos, he doesn't deserve to partake of any of that, because he hasn't subscribed to the klal in the first place. He's using the klal to detach himself from it. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you've detached from the klal, so then the result will be to be detached with these negative results. So important for us to appreciate that the klal is a great power, but it's also a certain responsibility. A person partakes of the dividends, the benefits of the klal, as long as he identifies with and associates with the klal. I should mention, while we're talking about this Gaon, and in fact, Ad Kan Divrei HaGaon, the Gaon has spoken, I have a couple of issues with the basic thesis of the Gaon, and a few actually, and two of them I'll mention. It sounds on the face of it to be a great chutzpah that I would seem to be asking a kasha on the Vilna Gaon. In fact, the exact opposite is true. If I were not to ask a kasha that I had, that would be the chutzpah, because that politeness would imply that who knows if the Gaon could withstand my kashas, which of course, he's the Vilna Gaon, and therefore, asked in the right way, it's a show of respect to speak aloud in terms of questions that I have. It could be that there's different approaches within Chazal themselves. But Rashi, in Parshas Ekev, actually the second Parsha of Shema, which is at the end of Ekev, V'haya im shamoa tishmu'ul mitzvosai, as we know. And of course, the beginning of the second Parsha of Shema seems to be quite similar in form to the first Parsha of the Shema, V'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol levavchem, v'chol nafshechem, and it seems to be going over the same thing. And Rashi talks about it. His sources in the Sifrei, says Rashi, b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem, v'halo kvar his here, b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. The Torah has already spoken about this, so why is it talking about it again? Says Rashi, ela azhara liyachid azhara litzibur. The reason why it says it again is because so far it's spoken about the individual, and now it's speaking about the community. Now, if we take Rashi's words on the simplest level, it sounds like the first parsha of the Shema, which is said in the singular, is addressing the individual. And it's specifically the second parsha that's in the plural that addresses the tzibur. And that seems to be at odds with the approach of the Vilna Gaon, that it's actually the yachid that refers to the tzibur and the rabbin to each and every individual. Just one more kasha which really struck me, which is based in a Gemara in Maseches Tanis, Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Matar Bishvil Yochid. Interesting. Sometimes it can rain on account of one person. And what that means is if you have one tzaddik who deserves it to rain, so it's not going to rain in his backyard, it will rain, and even beyond his own premises because of him. Matar bishvil yochid. That's the chiddush, that one individual can be the source of rain. Dichtiv, What's his source? The pasuk states, Yiftach Hashem lecha esot zeroato. Hashem will open for you his treasure house. Laseis matar atzacha, to give matar to the land. Now the point of the Rabbi Yochanan, it seems, is very clear. The pasuk uses the singular Yiftach Hashem lecha to tell you that even one single person can be the cause of rain. That pasuk, by the way, is actually from last week's parsha, from the brachos part of the tochacha, Dvarim Perek Kavches, which is the very tochacha that the Gemara has identified as speaking and made a point of saying that it speaks in Loshen Yochid, in the singular. It seems for Rabbi Yochanan, when it speaks in the singular, it's talking about even one person, and hence his lesson derived from the pasuk. So these are some of the issues, and presumably the answer will begin by identifying different approaches within Chazal. I'm not sure that there is a unified approach, but in any case, these are some of the, I believe, important sources with regards to this very thought-provoking thesis of the Vilna Gaon, and it relates, as we said, to many areas of Torah. Now, I'd like to move from there to Parshas Vayelech, the second of this week's Parsha, and Mitzvah Hashem will come back to Nitzavim. Now, in Vayelech, which is Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, discussing the future, difficult times. Let's even begin one Pasuk before. Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hincha Shochevim Avosecha. Moshe is told that he will now pass on. V'kam ha'am azeh v'zana acharei Eloheinei ha'aretz. And the Jewish people, in time, will stray. Ashehu Bashama Bikibo, they will be influenced by alien idolatry in the land of Israel. Vazovani, they will abandon me, Veferis Brisi, Asher Karati Ito, and they will disrupt the Bris. Vechar Apibova Yomahu, and I will, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, of himself become angry with them, Vazaptim, I will abandon them, Vistati Banamehem, Vayale Echol, and they will fall prey. Umitsa'uhu ro'os rabos v'tsoros. And this is the phrase that I would like to focus on. Umitsa'u, and they will be befallen by ro'os rabos v'tsoros, many and difficult evil things. Now, what's very noteworthy about this expression is the relationship that one of the rabbis of the Talmud had with it. And that is Rabbi Yochanan again, actually. For the Gemara states in Maseches Chagiga, and Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan, Kimote Lahai Kra, Bachi. When he would reach this pasuk, he would break down crying, apparently regularly, meaning it happened every time. This pasuk got him every time. And he said, when he looked at the pasuk, Ra'os, Rabbis V'Tzoros, many difficult, and he said, Eved Sherabo Mamtila Ro'os Rabbis V'Tzoros, Takona Yeshlo. If you have the servant and the master who says, giving him all of these terrible things, is there any hope for him? And that's that. Now, the words of the Gemara are very difficult for a couple of reasons. Number one, we should note, I mean, we have to ask, if we wish to understand really what's happening, as difficult as these words sound, they don't sound nice. Ro'os, rabos, v'tzoros. But are they the worst words in the Torah? Are they the harshest words in the Torah? If Rabbi Yochanan used to cry when he reached these words, that means that he held himself together through two tochachos. And they are difficult sections of the Torah. The end of Vayikra's got a tochacha. And last week's parsha has 60 psukim of curses. And Rabbi Yochanan, somehow, he doesn't disintegrate. And this one phrase, which is very general, again, it's negative, but it's very general, Ro'os Rabos V'Tzoros, and Rabbi Yochanan just can't take it. And the question is, what is it about this phrase that doesn't exist, even in the tochacha itself, it seems? And the second question, which is also should trouble us, is Rabbi Yochanan seems to have asked a question that we would know the answer to. For his question is, the Jewish people, they're having such terrible sorrows, is there any hope for them? And the answer, in terms of what we've been brought up to think, is yes. In other words, is there no role of these sorrows somehow to either alert them or awaken them or maybe even be a kapara or something? Is there no role of the difficulties of the Jewish people in order to forge them and keep them Jewish and headed towards the future? All of the positive things that exist within even difficult times called sorrows, Rabbi Yochanan seems to be ignoring them. So it's very difficult because he breaks down over this pasuk. He asks a rhetorical question, which sounds like it shouldn't be rhetorical. We have the answer. Takoni yeshlo? Yes, takoni yeshlo. Hopefully. Why are you so sure that's not true? So there is a very interesting approach to this Gemara, which is to be found in the writings of Rabbi Meir Shapira of Lublin. And the roots are actually earlier, a few hundred years earlier, in the name of one of the great early Acharonim, Rabbi Shimshon Meastropoli, a very unique individual. We have certain Divrei Torah from him, even certain Sfarim. And it begins by referring us to a section of the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Daf Hei Amud Aleph, which talks about suffering. The Gemara has to talk about everything, and in time it comes to talk about Yisurin. And the Gemara, when it discusses potentially the kapara aspect, the liberating aspect that comes from Yisurim, from suffering, from difficult times, that if a person goes through difficult times, it could be a kapara for them, like we hope that it is. So how do we know this? I mean, the Gemara tells us, but how does the Gemara know it? So the Gemara says, and it's actually based on a pasuk in Shir Shoyom for Wednesday, Ashrei HaGever Asher Tiyasrenu Ka, that's David HaMelech saying, on a certain level, happy is a person, Asher Tiyasrenu Ka, who has been given Yisur and difficulties by Hashem. How does the pasuk conclude? Umitaroscha Telamdenu. Now the straight reading is, and you teach him from your Torah, Telamdenu. But the Gemara performs an Altikrei, not Telamdenu, rather Telamdenu. You teach us from the Torah this principle. And therefore we look back in the Torah to find out where do we see that Yisurim, trials and tribulations and difficulties can liberate a person from their averus, can purify a person, atone for them. So the Gemara says, and this is Amar Biochanan, a kal v'chomer. So what's a kal v'chomer? Anything that's true for the milder case must be true for the more extreme case. That's kal v'chomer. And what's the kal v'chomer at hand? As we know, an Eved Ivri, who's a slave, right, he's closed in, but he can go free if he loses a tooth, if his master knocks out a tooth or an eye, that's the din of Shen Ba'ayin. And if that happens, if the master knocks out his eye or his tooth, the Eved goes free. So Rabbi Yochanan reasons, and this is the signpost that Pasuk in Tehillim is pointing us. Pay attention, there's a Kal V'chomer. If already an Eved Ivri who loses just one of his teeth can go free, so Kal V'chomer, Yisurin, suffering which affects the entirety of a person, so Kal V'chomer, they should make him go free. Free from what? From what he is enslaved in, namely from his averus. That's quite a limit. That's quite a thing to say. I mean, it was worth David HaMelech giving us a signpost in Tehillim to make sure we didn't miss it. Most Kal V'chomers, you either got them or you didn't. But this Kal V'chomer, David HaMelech said, make sure you didn't miss that Kal V'chomer. It's taught in the Torah. If you didn't get it, go back, read it again, and you'll get it. Okay, that's a very interesting limit. Reish Lakish, who, as we know, often had something to say alongside Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish says, it is learned not from a Kal V'chomer, but from what's called a Gezeirah Shavah. And what's a Gezeirah Shavah? If we're read up on Rabbi Shmuel's 13 principles, Shloshes Eremidus HaTorah Nedreshes Behen, the Torah is darshan in 13 ways. The first is a Kal V'chomer, and the second is a Gezeirah Shavah. Whenever you have two words that are identical, so the Torah intends for halachas to be communicated, for traffic to flow between the two. You can learn from one to the other. Nowadays we would call it a hyperlink, that may be oversimplifying, but the Gezeirah Shavah links the two. And where's the Gezeirah Shavah here? For the word bris, covenant, is used both with regards to suffering and with regards to salt. Bris melach, with regards to korbanos. Bris melach olam. It says bris with regards to suffering and bris with regards to salt as it's put on the meat. It says Rish Lakish, to teach you that the effect of suffering on a person is equivalent to the effect of salt as it falls on meat. In the same way that meat is liable to go off, to go bad, but the salt preserves it, so too a person themselves may degenerate, but the Yisurim are the salt that preserve them, because they keep their Averus from overcoming them. That's quite a passage of Gemara. Between one thing and another, Kal v'chomer, Gezeirah Shavah, it's like the Eved Ivri, it's like the salt, I mean, these are very specific limudim. And of course, the question that we ask, because we have to ask, is there a machlokus between them? I mean, are they actually arguing about anything material other than where it comes from? Or is it just two ways of getting you to the same place? Whether you go the Kal v'chomer route, the moral of the story is suffering can liberate you. And whether you go the salt route, your suffering can liberate you. So do they both reach exactly the same point? Says Rabbi Meir Shapira, no, they do not. There's a machlokas here. The question as to where you learn the benefit of Yisurim will impact as to what are the parameters of that benefit. For a very simple reason. Says Rabbi Meir Shapira, if you could imagine Eved Ivri, Eved Kanani, who's the master knocks his tooth out, but let's say he's sleeping or at the time. So he wakes up the next day and his tooth is lying there next to him and someone passes by. How did that happen? He doesn't know. That Eved will not go free. He's an Eved and he's a Shlamazel. Because he lost his chance to go free. He didn't have the consciousness to initiate the proceedings that would liberate him. Which is interesting. Because it turns out that we appreciate there has to be a certain conscious response on the part of the Eved in order to benefit from the difficulties that he's gone through. But if he just breezes by and he has no idea where it came from, nothing will change. And he remains an Eved. Contrast that with Rish Lakish's limud, of the effect of suffering on a person is the equivalent to effect of salt on meat. I think we'll all appreciate that there needs to be no cognitive response on the part of the meat in order to benefit from the preserving qualities of the salt. Wherever the salt falls, that's where it will be preserved. Whether or not the meat recognizes it, accepts it, appreciates it, it doesn't matter. It's a natural and inevitable consequence, all other things being equal. It doesn't require any consciousness on the part of the object. And therefore, says Rabbi Meir Shapira, there is a most fundamental dispute that is taking place here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Namely, and it's a very important question, many people have difficult times. Not every person ascribes their difficulties to Min HaShamayim. Some people, they're in difficult times and they can't see past their difficulties. That's why they're called tsaros. Tsaros means narrow. It narrows your vision. It takes a breadth of vision in order to see past it and say, maybe these are coming to me for a reason. Not everybody draws that conclusion. And the difficult question that has to be asked, because it's there, is, Yisurim is suffering, does it have the benefit on a person if a person does not relate to it as such? And the answer is, that is exactly the point of dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that takes a tragic situation called difficulties on a Jewish person and makes it worse and compounds it because it never took him anywhere. Whereas Rish Lakish has a much more broader view in the sense that, or less restrictive view, that the natural effect will happen regardless of how a person himself relates to what he's going through. That's a big machlokas. And now, let us see how it relates to our opening question. Because the Torah gives tochachas. And tochachas are terrible things. But they're there for a reason. They are in response to the Jewish people not behaving as they should. And ultimately, the goal is to bring them back into line. That's what we hope. And each one, in its own way, ends with the Jewish people taking notice. And they're available for redemption. And without the Tochacha, they would not be. Because they would not be compatible with the state of Geula. So it's difficult, but we can withstand it. Until Rabbi Yochanan reaches the pasuk which says, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, U'mitza'uhu ro'os rabos v'tzoros. And Rabbi Yochanan at that point couldn't take it. The question is, what did it say here? Ro'os rabos v'tzoros, is that worse than the Tochacha itself? Says Rabbi Meir Shapira, the reason why Rabbi Yochanan reacted so badly to this phrase is not because of the words not ro'os, and not rabos, and not tzoros, but to the word umitza'uhu. Umitza'uhu means it found him. When something finds something else, what is the definition of a mitzia? You find something. Where did it come from? You don't know. Just picked it up. Who gave you that? No one. Just found it. A mitzia relationship with suffering means that he is not conscious of the fact that someone gave them to them. It found me. It's a mitzia. Says Rabbi Yochanan. And this is why it's Rabbi Yochanan, if we would use the expression, lishitoso. So Rabbi Yochanan, consistent with his understanding of how Yisurim work, he's the one that learned it from a Kal Vachomer. You need awareness. So Eved Sherabo Mamtsilo, part of the Klala is, and that's part of the Hesterponim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamtsilo, he arranges you to deliver it to you as a Mitzia. So he asks, Takana Yeshlo? Because for Rabbi Yochanan, the answer is no. There is no Takana for such a person. All of those suffering will be in vain. And it's an important insight into this very difficult part of life that we hope to avoid and we don't like to talk about, but it's part of life and therefore part of Torah. Difficult times, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, demand a certain response for the person in order to become meaningful. And that's Rabbi Meir Shapira's response, explanation of that very cryptic section of the Gemara. And I would like to add on this matter, because it's a number of years, and if you've learnt the Gemara, and even if you haven't, you know about it, that this idea that redemption through suffering, that's really what it is, the atoning quality of suffering. And the question is, why? As if to say, there are certain averos that it's codified, that a person does not get full kapara, does not get full atonement, without yisurin, without suffering. And of course, we don't like to suffer, and we like to do the right thing, and we like things to work out. So the question is, well, why should that be so? And there may be a number of answers, but something that I saw a number of months ago in the writings of Rav Soloveitchik really revolutionized the way that I related to this thing. Rav Soloveitchik approaches, perhaps in typical fashion, the issue of suffering with regards to kapara from a halachic perspective. And this is what it sounds like. In order that it shouldn't be just a kind of a gratuitous suffering for your sins, the reality is, it starts with the understanding that our life is granted to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's misused through an Aveira, and an Aveira that's considered sufficiently grave, a person who does such a thing, who has misused the life that's given, misused that gift, at a certain level forfeits their right to live. That's the blunt truth, which may be why we don't talk about it that much. But if we're Jews and we know where we come from, so a person who's done an Aveira is in a very difficult situation. Strictly speaking, his life is forfeit. Anyone who's on an expense account who violates the terms of the account is terminated. What they get. Now, a person wants to do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him the ability to make amends. strictly speaking, if he's forfeited his life, but of course what he wants more than anything else is more life, he should have to pay for it. Except the difficult point here is that the only way that he can pay for his life is with his life. That's the only thing that has the equivalent value, in which case he'd be no better off than when he started with. The only thing worth his life is his life itself. So if we would try and redeem, buy back his life, the only currency he has, he would have to lose. So how does it work? The answer, says Rav Soloveitchik, is Yisurin. This is the bracha, to use a bold expression, the bracha of Yisurin. Because actually, when it comes to the halachas of kinyonim, it is possible to affect the purchase of a very valuable item, even by giving something which is less valuable than that item. It can work with consent of both parties, as long as it has minimum worth. As long as you present a coin that has value, it is something, even a shavar pruta, it's kesef. And kinyan kesef can affect whatever it is you wish to buy back. Yisurin, says Rav Soloveitchik, are actually units of life. Because when a person is in distress, their quality of life diminishes. And when a person is without distress, they have more life, they're more alive. And therefore, Yisurin represents, to the degree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges each person that's what they need, Yisurin actually represents a minimizing, a compacting of trading in an aspect of your life for your whole life. When a person that goes through a difficult time, the amount of his life that diminishes could be the shavar pruta, that's the coin. But he gives that in order to receive his life back. That's amazing. That is how Rav Soloveitchik explains Yisurin. And I thought perhaps to add a PS, because being spoilt, we understand that it's all for the best, and Yisurim are only a fraction of what a person really deserves, but even a fraction we feel we could do without. We daven that we shouldn't have Yisurin at all. But the Gemara says that one of the ways in order to avoid Yisurim is by performing kindness for other people. Bechesed ve'emes yichu paravon. And once again, it sounds like mathematically it should make sense, but that's oversimplifying. A person's done an aveira, and now he does an act of kindness, which is a mitzvah, and that offsets, but it doesn't work that way. Because why kindness specifically, and how does that address the problem? I think perhaps, I feel, that the reason why kindness has this quality is because kindness is the opposite of Yisurin. To perform a kindness for a person is to give them life, is to add to their life. Any time a person is in distress and you perform a kindness for them, so you are making them more alive. And therefore I think part of the way that it works, that chesed, an act of chesed, can save a person from Yisurin, is because instead of paying by taking off an aspect of my life through my discomfort, I'm paying by adding onto someone else's life through an act of kindness. That's my deposit, and that's how I hope to get my life back. So I think it's a very interesting perspective on the whole enterprise called Gemilas Chasodim, and specifically its relationship to the Kapara process. From there, let us move back to Parshas Nitzavim, to the Parsha of Tshuva, which is in Parshas Nitzavim, in the beginning of Perek Lamed. And Perek Lamed has the difficulties that befall the Jewish people. And in Pasuk Beis, says, V'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha. And you will come back. Now we should know, from a Parshanut point of view, there is a machlokus rishonim as to what the word v'shavto means. It refers to tshuva. But what type of reference is it? According to the Ramban, it's a mitzvah. It's a positive mitzvah to do tshuva. When the Torah says v'shavta, it's like ukshartam la'os al yodecha, meaning it describes it as something you'll do, meaning you have to do it. It's a mitzvah to do tshuva. The Rambam does not consider this word v'shavta to be a mitzvah, but rather the Torah is saying the Jewish people in time will do tshuva. which is very interesting, especially for the Rambam, for whom, well, everyone, but certainly the Rambam makes a point of it, that freedom of choice is what being Jewish is all about, but at a certain point, in various ways, the Torah has stated unequivocally that at a certain point the Jewish people will do tshuva. And the Rambam says that in Hilchos Tshuva. Ukvar hivticha Torah she'asidon Yisrael lachzor b'tshuva. The Jewish people will do tshuva, there's no question about it, u'miyad hem nigolim, and they will be redeemed. So those are two quite different ways of looking at the word v'shavta. V'shavta is either, once again, each person in their own setting has a mitzvah to do tshuva as soon as it becomes relevant. For the Rambam, v'shavta is the Jewish people will do tshuva. And the result of that, of course, gedola tshuva, shemikarev eses ha-geula, the tshuva of the Jewish people in Golos leads to kibbutz golios, posuk gimel. V'shav Hashem elokecha shivuscha, Hashem will bring you back, or come back with you, actually, according to the Gemara. V'richamecha, v'shav ekibetzcha mikol ha'amim, who bring you back from all of those nations, asher fitzcha Hashem elokecha shama. And posuk dalet keeps going. Im yeni dachecha b'kteh shamayim, right, we know these psukim, however far you'll be, misham ikabetzcha Hashem elokecha, u'misham ikachecha, v'yavircha Hashem elokecha la'aretz asher shuv esecha. And he'll bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. That's tshuva, shemikareves es ha-geula. Now, if that's true, then we have a very simple question. Because the process has been described, and that's what we're waiting for. And then we come to Pasuk Ches, which says, Ve'atata shuv, you will do tshuva, v'shamata b'kol Hashem, v'asisa komet v'osav. So we have to ask, you got the Jewish people, they've done tshuva. That's how they got the geula. And then everything's okay. And then you'll do tshuva. For what? What is the role of the tshuva in Pasuk Ches that hasn't already happened to get us into Eretz Yisrael, which is in Pasuk Beis? There is an amazing statement of the Rambam. It's actually the Rambam quoting a statement of Chazal. In Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvahs Asei Ayin Gimel, that's where the Rambam talks about tshuva. Tshuva itself is not a mitzvah for the Rambam, but vidui is, interestingly. And that's based on the pasuk in Parshas Noso, v'hisvadu as havonam. And it's a well-known discussion within the words of the Rambam as to whether tshuva is at all a mitzvah or just vidui. And of course, one can't really do vidui without doing tshuva, so is that just another way of saying the same thing? But the way the Rambam talks about it, the mitzvah is vidui, hu shetzivanu lehisvados al avonos. It incorporates tshuva, because if you say vidui without actually intending to change anything, that's not a mitzvah, that's possibly an avera. Now, at a certain point, the Rambam says as follows. He quotes what he calls the Mechilta. We have it in the Sifrei Zuta, which is from Chazal. Uva'abur sheba zeh hatzivui. And seeing as this commandment, shehu v'hisvadu, right, the word v'hisvadu to say vidui, it comes within the context, it's written in the Torah within the context of imchiyav ha-korban, right, because the Torah says that if a person does an avera, let him bring a korban and say vidui. So given that the original context of vidui is accompanying a korban, haya ola b'machshava she'ein ha-vidui levadui mitzvah b'pnei atzma. So one would perhaps have thought that if you don't have a korban, so maybe there's no mitzvah vidui. You never saw vidui by itself, so maybe it accompanies the korban as an accessory to the korban by itself. Maybe there's no such thing, and that is why hutzrechu sheyivaru ze b'mechilta. That is why the mechilta says yochol. I may have thought bizman sheimivin. When you bring a korban, that's when you say vidui. U'minayin af bizman she'ein mivin. How do I know that even if there's no korban, but the mitzvah of vidui equals tshuva still exists independently? Talmud Lomar, it brings a drasha from the pasuk to draw out vidui as an independent mitzvah. Okay, that we know. We know that tshuva exists independently of korbanos. But there's a follow-up now. Listen to this. Va'adayin ein mashma vidui ela ba'aretz. But still, I'm only aware of the concept of tshuva in Eretz Yisrael. Minayin af begolios? How do I know that there's a mitzvah even in golos? Talmud lomar v'hizvadu v'savona vosam. It brings a pasuk as if to say, there's also a mitzvah of tshuva in chutz laaretz. But of course, we are astounded. Tshuva is not one of the mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz. It's not like truma and maaser, but there's a natural divide, bikurim. It's a universal mitzvah, it's an independent mitzvah. And apparently, it was necessary for the Torah to reassure me that the concept of tshuva exists in chutz laaretz. Why? There is a sefer called Sefer HaTshuva. It's a three-volume work on tshuva written by Rabbi Yosef Cohen, a grandson of Rabbi Pesach Frank. And his introduction to that sefer, he discusses this Rambam, and he says something most fascinating. The Ramban tells us on a number of occasions that there exists in Eretz Yisrael a kesher, a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between him and the Jewish people, that is direct and exclusive to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Ksubas makes a very startling expression. The Gemara says it because it has to be said. Talmud Bavli. Kol hadar b'chutz laretz, k'misha ein le'aloka. If a person lives in chutz laretz like he doesn't have a God. And what that means, says the Ramban, is, to be very clear, that means that there is a certain lack of directness in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is Elokei Ha'aretz. As opposed to Chutz Laaretz, as the Ramban proceeds to describe it, that it works through mazolos and sorim and various other klisheni apparatus. In Eretz Yisrael, it's direct. Says Rabbi Yosef Cohen, and there's a lot to talk about that, we've discussed it in the past, Ramban writes about it at length in a number of places. Tshuva, return. Return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There would be room to think that given that, the directness, right, that closeness, that kesher between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can only exist in Eretz Yisrael, so perhaps the venture called tshuva can only happen in Eretz Yisrael. Because tshuva is about saying, come close to Hashem. There's only so close you can come in Chutz Laaretz. And to that end, the Michilta says, and therefore I may have thought that the entire process of hitkarvut, as surely as earlier the Gemara thought, maybe it can only happen when there's a korban. And maybe there's no such thing if there's no korban. But in the end there is. So it's a similar template. Maybe there's no such thing in Chutz Laaretz, because how close can you get? And the answer is, which is the chiddush of the Torah, close enough. Closer than you were before you did tshuva, and it's still a value, and still, of course, a mitzvah, and all of that. But it's most fascinating that it went through a yochel. I may have thought there's no such thing. Talmud Lomer, there is such a thing. Because even once the Torah has reassured us that there's such a thing called tshuva in Chutz Laaretz, what remains true is that it will not be the same degree of closeness as it is in Eretz Yisrael. So much so that I was entertaining the thought that it doesn't exist in Chutz Laaretz. And if that's true, we'll appreciate something very interesting. We're looking at the tshuva of the Jewish people to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. So, of course, the cause and effect relationship is the tshuva has to precede the geula. But what's most fascinating is there is a certain level, a certain degree of the fullness of that tshuva that can't happen until the Jewish people come back to Eretz Yisrael. Because until this kibbutz golios, and until we're in the setting where we can have that direct connection, so the tshuva cannot be complete in terms of v'shavtem ad Hashem Elokecha. And that, perhaps, is why the Torah has a further reference to tshuva even after the geula, because there will be a certain level of tshuva that can actually only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. Now, I'd like to conclude by taking an alternative approach to this question, which is to be found in the writings of the Chasam Sofer, in the Droshes. And it's quoted by Rav Waldenberg, Zatzal, and Tzitz Eliezer. Now, Tzitz Eliezer is a halachic work, but at a certain point, Rav Waldenberg said, this Chasam Sofer is so important, he just quotes it word for word. He just copied it into the Tzitz Eliezer, because it's also halacha. It's halachas of how to be redeemed. As we know, and it's clear from the Psukim, in order for the Jewish people to come back meaningfully to Eretz Yisrael, there has to be tshuva. Rambam says, Ein Yisrael Negalim Ela Mitoch HaTshuva. However, there's an interesting problem. And that is fundamental tshuva, the full degree of tshuva, as the Gemara tells us, can only really happen when a person is in the same circumstances that led them to the Avera in the first place. But if they never really enter that circumstance again, so they may regret what they did, but their tshuva isn't full. Which is very interesting, because the primary problem of the Jewish people got them thrown into Golus. And part of that problem was their relationship to Eretz Yisrael, or their violation of their relationship to Eretz Yisrael. As the Torah speaks about it, v'ochal, v'sava, v'dashen, they got comfortable, v'shavtimba, in last week's terminology, got comfortable, and more or less were looking to live an existence in Eretz Yisrael, which is no different than any other nation. Took everything for granted and cast mitzvahs to the side. The abusive life in Eretz Yisrael led to being ejected from Eretz Yisrael. So if that's true, then we have an irony, because having been thrown out, we look to come back, and we need to do tshuva to come back. But for a certain aspect of that tshuva, we need to be back. Because we need to be living in Eretz Yisrael as it should be lived in order to fully return to that circumstance that led to the Golus, where we were not living in there the way it should have been lived in. And sometimes, the Rishonim tell us, if a person really wants to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him back to that situation in order to complete his tshuva. And the Chasam Sofer says, and this is Chasam Sofer in the 1800s, nothing has happened yet. All of this is in the future. But the Chasam Sofer says that Pasuk Beis is the Jewish people, they're doing tshuva to the best of their ability. But they can only go so far. We wish we could come back to Eretz Yisrael and be the Jewish people as we should be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring them back. Kibbutz Galios. And, says Chasam Sofer, and now they can do tshuva. Now they can do proper tshuva. In other words, when the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael and preserve and develop their unique destiny and their unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is based on Torah and mitzvahs, that's when they can finally do tshuva. The first tshuva is an interim tshuva, just to get them back to a place where they can become full Baalei tshuva. And, of course, the Tzitzi Elezer, he quoted it for a reason. It was clear to him, and it's just mind-boggling to consider, that if we wonder, you know, where are we in history, the answer really sounds like we are in Parshas Nitzavim, in Perek Lamed, in between Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Ches, where we've been given the ability, through Hashem's kindness, to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And of course, the question, alongside all the other questions that we're asking about, you know, our future here, is what will we make of it? But of course, as we know, the biggest mistake the Jewish people can make about coming to Eretz Yisrael is to see their return as the end of their journey. For the truth is, we see from the Psukim, from a fundamental point of view, our return is actually just the beginning. Because we're finally in a place where we can rise to the challenge of living in Eretz Yisrael as Am Yisrael should be. And Amir Tzashem, that should be the conduit between the original tshuva leading to Kibbutz Galios, the final tshuva leading to the Geula Shelema. B'mehir B'yameinu.